Oracle of Luna is a podcast with me, Bridget Ingalls, as your host. Here we have conversations with real live, present day goddesses who are actively and courageously doing their magical work in the world. Each episode is a bewitching journey with relevant discussions on topics such as Wiccan pagan spirituality, writing, culture, magical practices, art, ritual, and the craft in its many forms. Hello, and welcome to the Oracle of Luna podcast with me, Bridget Ingalls. Today, I have a very, very honorable and exquisite guest. She's an outstanding speaker, empath, author, and member of the Navajo Nation, Granddaughter Crow. Welcome.
Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. I am so honored to be here on this podcast with your listeners and to share this sacred space and this sacred time, and just to be here with each of you is just, it's just a blessing. And it always reminds me that there is a huge synchronicity in the world and how we cross each other's paths for whatever reason. And I'm just glad that I'm crossing your path today.
Yeah, I am very excited and honored that you are too. I'm a big fan, and I've read your latest book, Belief, Being, and Beyond, which is outstanding and is going to be coming out, I believe, next week, right?
Yeah. Yep, next week, June 8th. And you can pre-order this if you want. You know, just Google the title and my name, and it comes up at a lot of different places.
Yeah. So we have a lot to unpack. I have a lot of questions for you. And so I'm just going to jump right in.
Perfect.
Okay. So I am just very curious how the role of medicine women and healer, psychic, intuitive, and empath, how did this all come about?
Right. Yeah. Excellent question. So, you know, this comes to different people in different ways and the different titles that they identify with, you know, and putting those titles out into the world so that they can recognize what type of a spirit, you know, you are. I would say that when I was very young, I was born with a lot of intuitive gifts, you know, and I'm sure a lot of people that are listening to your, you know, your podcast will agree, like they saw spirits, they talked to little people and, you know, the little people that live in your cupboards and, you know, the fae and all of that. And it's just really kind of beautiful that that was actually really encouraged for me to explore those as a child and a young adult. Well, I'd say preteen. And that was under the Christian faith, that was like an indoctrinated, spirit-filled. My parents are reverends of the Christian faith, so they encouraged it under that genre, if you will. And so then I began to kind of question their belief systems. And at that time, you were not allowed to question authority, not allowed to question deity, not allowed to question anything. Children were to be seen and not heard. And so when I started questioning, that kind of pushed me out of their indoctrination. And I had to go out on my own, and I turned all of it off, right? I was like, I don't want to see anything. I don't want to know anything. This is, oh no, this, you know, maybe I was brainwashed. It was crazy. And then when I was in my middle, probably about 35 years old, it just kept knocking on my door, and it's like, it's time to come back to the spirit. And I'm like, well, I need to figure out how.
Yeah.
And I really leapt back into the Navajo tradition. My father is full blood Navajo, and started really kind of with DNA memory, through dreams, through journeying, astral traveling, spirit-led, reading books, all of this, I just started realizing that all of those gifts that I had when I was young, I still do. It's just under a different name now. And so when it all comes full circle, I would have to say that I see a medicine person to be an individual who has been put through life's initiations, the hard times, the dark night of the soul, and they have come through those with wisdom. And that wisdom is a medicine that they carry. And so you listening out there today, maybe you didn't identify as a medicine person before, but maybe you might investigate what that is if you've been through that path. And so, you know, when I say psychic, I kind of struggled with that at first because a lot of people are like, well, I'm intuitive, you know, I don't have a crystal ball or whatever. But at the end of the day, I first just made that huge leap about 12 years ago because I realized that how are people going to see me? I mean, you're going to Google psychic. You're not going to be Googling empathic medicine woman novel, you know? So I was just like, do the blanket term. But I do actually do a lot of, you know, really crazy predictions. It just depends, you know, what comes through and how it wants to come through. So, but yeah, that's, it all began at birth and it's still going on.
Yeah. And, so you mentioned you're part of the Navajo Nation. Where did you grow up? Just sometimes where we grow up or our early beginnings kind of shape us. So I was just curious where did you grow up?
No, that's an excellent question. And I agree with you, Bridget, where we do grow up and our lived experience does play out in a lot of, you know, the way that we look at the world. So I was actually, I was born in Gallup, New Mexico, and my family was down there. My father, full blood. My mom is full blood Dutch. They met in seminary school and then moved down to the Navajo Nation where my dad is from. Mm-hmm. English is his second language. And then when I was about one, we moved back up to, well, not back up, but we moved up to Denver, Colorado. And my father was put as the pastor of a Navajo or a Native American church. And so I grew up, you know, singing Jesus Loves Me in Navajo and, you know, as a four-year-old in front of all these people. And so I was really in that community until I started going to school. And then I was more surrounded by people who, you know, are Denver people and of all different cultures. And so, yeah, I grew up in Colorado, but I grew up with a lot of Navajo, I don't know, just a lot of Navajo influence. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And that's really influenced you in your spirituality.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, you know, people ask me, well, they look at me and they go, granddaughter Crow, what is, but you're Navajo? What's that about? And the truth of it is that my grandfather, my father's dad passed away when my dad was like 15 years old. And so I didn't really know him. And I don't think that he spoke English at all. He was very, very Navajo. Mm-hmm. And I started having these dreams and these visions of this young man coming to me, and he was teaching me all these things, and he was showing me crows and ravens, and he was showing me that he learned how to dance with them and all of this wisdom and for a number of years. And I was like, what is this? Who is this guy? And one day I was on the phone with my mother, and she doesn't like to talk about what I do. So I just listened to what she does. And there was some birds in the background. And I said, she said, oh, I love the little robins. And I said, oh, I love ravens and crows. And she was like, oh no. And then she must have channeled or something. She said, you know who else loved the crows and the ravens? I said, who? She said, your grandfather. And she said, there was a story that said that he learned how to dance from the ravens and the crows. And I knew at that moment that that young Indian shamanistic guy that I have been visited by for so long was actually my grandfather.
Wow.
And wow. So I keep the name Granddaughter Crow because it is a tribute to him, and just a lot of beauty around that. So
yeah. And mm-hmm. crows and ravens both are messengers from beyond.
Yes. Yes, they absolutely are messengers. And, you know, they're not necessarily, they're a little taboo whenever you look at them, whether it's through a Navajo eye or even, you know, different eyes like, you know, Hugin Munin in the Norse pantheon. You know, those are the two ravens that report back up to the Allfather Odin.
Yeah, yeah.
And they also are a symbol of the Valkyries under that because they sit on the side of the battlefields waiting for the heroes to fall and then take their souls up to the halls of Valhalla. So a lot of times people think ravens and crows and Valkyries and black and scary and iridescent and they eat trash. And I'm like, oh, we recycle, honey. We recycle energy, you know?
Right.
But it's a really, for me, it's all about the magic and the ability to even go in between those realms.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
In that, I help a lot of people in between the realms, whether the realm is today and tomorrow, or the realm is this side of the curtain or that side. So very, very magical, but a little frightening for some. And
yeah.
so it is with me. I'm very, very magical. And some people are a little thrown off by me. So
that's okay. We love that here.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, okay. So you grew up with the Navajo Nation teachings, religion, Dutch American heritage teachings, religion, spirituality. So was it hard to integrate those two divergent types of influences, would you say?
Absolutely, 100%. You nailed it. I mean, it's sometimes I joke and I'm like, I'm cowboys and Indians all up in here, you know. I wear wooden moccasins, you know. It's such a polarity between those two cultures. They do think differently. They do approach the world differently. They do approach spirituality very differently. And so when I was a little half Navajo, half Dutch little girl, when I would go down and visit my cousins on the res, on the Navajo res, which is in New Mexico, it's the Four Corners, actually, the Colorado, Utah.
Yes, I've been there.
Arizona. Yeah. And the Farmington side is where my clan lives and still lives and has land down there.
Okay.
So when I went to visit them when I was young, they were like, oh, the little white girl, you know, the little white skinned girl. Mm-hmm. And then when I would go and visit my cousins from my mother's side, they said, oh, the little native girl, so it gave me a sense as a child of where do I belong?
Right.
Who am I? And I carried that for a long time. And it was difficult. And then living up in Denver, you know, I wanted blue eyes and blonde hair. I wanted to maybe not tan as much or, you know, try to infiltrate into more of the white body lived experience. And I was often a little outside of that realm too. And then all of a sudden I was like, no, the white man stole my land. And I'd go swing the pendulum way to the other side. And I would be like, I'm Native American. This is my, you know? And so it was really, I was about 35 years old. And just to let you know, that was about 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
That I started realizing that I'm both, that I'm not 50-50, that I'm 100% me.
Right.
And in that bridging of those two cultures, it really has allowed me to bridge a lot of other concepts within the world. And hence you'll see it in the book, Belief, Being, and Beyond, bridging a polarity of various belief systems and extracting that, you know, it's all the same, but it's in different cloaks, and go with the ones that allow you to ask questions and be authentic and empowered.
Yes, absolutely. And so, I mean, really, you're such a prolific author and public speaker and teacher. I wanted to give you a shout out for your earlier books too, The Journey of the Soul and Wisdom of the Natural World. How did those come about? How did that evolve? And were you in your life when you wrote those books?
Oh yeah. It's crazy because when I was a teenager, obviously I started, you know, questioning the foundation of what brought my mother and father together, right?
Yes.
The
yes.
Christian church. And
yes.
So with all of that deep thinking and them, you know, casting me away or saying, oh my God, we need a prayer meeting, she's possessed or whatever, it really was a difficult time. So I didn't really pay attention in high school. I like to say I was distracted, but the truth is, although I did graduate 23rd in my class, there were only 24 people and the 24th person had dropped out halfway through. So I did not see myself as, you know, I barely got through high school English and so I would not have thought that I'm an author. But then as I grew and matured and just started evolving and a teacher, yes, but from my angle, I'm a curious student that loves to share and I love to bring back up information. And so then as I was moving through the world as Granddaughter Crow, somebody asked me, it was the North Central Healing Touch Conference, said, hey, will you be the keynote for our annual conference here out in Minneapolis, Minnesota? And I'm like, yeah, of course. Yeah. And so I looked up there on their page and everything. I was like, okay, what am I supposed to represent here? And I saw all of the other, you know, authors or not authors, but the other speakers from years back, all of them had a doctorate. I too have a doctorate at this point, but the one thing that they had that I didn't was a book. And I was just like, talk about my raven magic. I was just like, well, I better get on it and write a book. And so I wrote Journey of the Soul, The Path of a Medicine Person. And that really reflects kind of what I was saying initially about, you know, what creates a medicine person. It also, I break out like in a lot of the shamanistic circles, although there's many of them and many different shamanistic roads, one similarity that a lot of them hold is, you know, the upper world, the middle world, and the lower world. And trying to explain the differences between these worlds is very difficult until I superimpose the chakra system and the upper chakras are the upper world and the middle chakras are the middle world and the lower chakras. So all of that and more is in that book.
Okay.
And then what happened was I went to Minneapolis, Minnesota, and guess who's down the street? Llewellyn Worldwide Publishing.
Oh.
They happen to be in the audience. And hence my second book, which is Wisdom of the Natural World, The Path of a, it's all about plants and animals and getting teachings. And it's just so beautiful. And just to toot my own horn, I actually am a finalist for the cover award for that book under the Shamanistic Paganism section.
Ooh.
And I'll be going to the award dinner just in a
couple
of weeks.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. And then that one led to this book. And right. This one is like the deep part of my soul.
Right. And the questioning, it's an invitation to kind of question belief, our own personal beliefs.
Absolutely. I, you know, creator, whatever it is that created us, you know, and you can put that in so many different forms because it reveals itself to us in so many different ways, individually and throughout our life, it may shift and change, but whatever that energy is, it gave us a mind and it gave us a curious spirit. So I believe that it wants us to ask questions. It wants us to grow. The craziest things happen when somebody is told you're not allowed to question. That's scary.
You know,
so question, because I've questioned a lot of different deities and they love it. The ones that I, you know, follow, they're just like, oh, I got you. You're sassy. All right. All right. Well, I don't feel like I have to prove myself, but I will answer your questions and I will show you the truths about, you know, the spiritual and the consciousness and this whole big energetic thing from different perspectives. And,
yeah.
And there's so many truths that I feel like if we sat in circle, we all see a little bit more of the truth when we communicate with each other. But questioning, you can't get an answer unless you ask a question. The answers could be sitting right in front of you, but until you formulate that question, you won't recognize the answer. So please, people, question, but moreover, approach life with curiosity.
Absolutely. Yes. Without curiosity, we don't grow or evolve. And you know, that's where we're here in life, I believe, it's to evolve.
Yes, I absolutely agree, which kind of full circle back to what you do. And I've been looking into a lot of what you do and this goddess energy and recognizing the goddess within. I just want to give you a shout out for that. I think it was back in, oh gosh, maybe 2014, I was on another show and the lady said, we were really talking about the rise of the feminine divine. Mm-hmm. And I just said, you know, don't look for it. Like, you know, you're like the great rise of the great pumpkin, you know, in Charlie Brown, and it's going to come out of the pumpkin patch. The rise of the feminine divine actually takes place within each of us. Yes. In very authentic ways. And so that's one reason why I am just so excited to be a part of your family and your community.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I too went through a long spiritual journey. You know, I grew up Catholic and then promptly abandoned that at age 18. And then, you know, I went through a long spiritual journey, questioned my faith. What do I believe in? It was a long cycle. And, you know, I started my Wiccan pagan path and, of course, did a lot of research on goddess archetypes and wrote books. I have a couple books and have a couple audio books as well. But it's a journey and it's ongoing.
Yes, I absolutely agree. And, you know, for the most part, I would say that all, if not most of your, or most, if not all of the people who are drawn to people like you and myself have a similar story. And I hope that each one of the listeners feels empowered, inspired, and encouraged that their story doesn't make them broken. Their story makes them empowered. And that's what I'm talking about with those initiations and asking those questions. And it's really interesting that a lot of us that ask the questions revert back to the natural world or things that have to do with the natural world and, mm-hmm. or the old ones from, you know, across the big pond, you know, and, mm-hmm. and the Celtic and the Greek and the Norse and all of that. It's just so exciting. It's so exciting recognizing that there's a reason why we ask those questions and that those questions led us to this healing path.
Yeah. Yes. I've always been drawn to the natural world, even as a small, as far back as I can remember, maybe 4 years old, running in the, you know, in the forest and, being near trees, talking to trees, making, yes. you know, friends with fairies, even though I didn't really know what I was doing, but I was actually an empath, you know, kind of reaching out to my other, yes. Metaphysical side.
Yes, so, yes. I think that's beautiful. I want to just make a quick comment on that. I think a lot of people as children, we don't have these walls of this indoctrinated thinking that is prolific within the Western culture and civilization. And so it's not about learning more about it. It's like breaking down those walls to reconnect with that natural world.
Absolutely. And know that we're only one part of it in the big, big whole holistic wheel of time and yes. the earth and the cosmos. I'm just going to carry on here. And this kind of leads into your new book, Belief, Being, and Beyond, which
yes.
I am so inspired because this has really opened my mind to some different concepts, such as the four bodies of existence, the five stages of development, integrating Norse, Hindu, Native American, and Christian belief systems. There's just so many really amazing alignments and concepts in this book. Yeah. Do you want to just sort of talk about your journey with this book? And I know you touched on it before, but.
No, I would love to. This book is not necessarily easy to describe. And different people who have read it come to me and say they catch things from different places. And the beauty around this is that it is a weaving. It is a huge weaving between a lot of different cultures, religious belief systems, the tarot. I go a little bit into astrology, and then I kind of break it back out. So what I'd like to say about this book is, first, I'd like to talk about the subtitle, which actually my publicist made and said, because it says Belief, Being, and Beyond. And then it says, your journey to questioning ideas, deconstructing concepts, and healing from harmful belief systems. So if that is a part of your path, this might be a good read for you. How I break it down is, well, why I wrote it was, really quick story, if you don't mind. When I was 30 years old, I decided, you know, I was just driving in my car and I was like driving home from work. And I'm like, if I had all the resources in the world to do whatever I wanted, what would I do? And my soul responded, I'd go to school, I'd go to college. And I thought to myself, are you kidding me? I can't, I barely made it out of high school. What, me in college? So anyway, I went back to college as an adult, night school. And the first class on the first night was, you know, general 101, gen 101. And the class was really about kind of getting adults to get back into the student mind, you know? And so we were doing an icebreaker and the teacher said, okay, everybody, just write down the title of a book. If you were to write a book, what would the title be? And I was like, oh, this is good. So I go and I sit down, I think about it, and I think about it, and I write Belief, Being, and Beyond on this piece of paper.
Oh.
And wow. Then we're going around the class, and the other students were like, they were reading their titles, and they were just like very general titles, like how to ski down a ski slope, how to bake the best cookies. And I'm like, oh no, I did it again. I took it too far. I'm always the odd duck out. You know, I'm just like, I must have got this wrong. I told you I'm not good in school. You know, I just kind of a little internal meltdown, and then realizing that I could make something up or I could just be myself. And right. I decided to be myself. So I said, Belief, Being, and Beyond. And the room, of course, went awkwardly silent. And the teacher kind of inquisitively looked at me and said, would you like to, you know, talk to us about that? What is that about? And I said, well, basically, no matter what it is that you believe, that constitutes how you behave in the world, your beingness. But there is always something beyond that. And if we can keep our minds open to the beyond, then we won't chastise each other for different belief systems.
Right.
And she was just like, oh. And so this book has been within me for the last 15 plus years. And I'm just, when I was like, okay, I finished off my book about wisdom of the natural world. I'm really happy about that. If you guys want to connect with the natural world, there are exercises in there. It's just a lot of fun. But then it came out and I'm like, I need to write Belief, Being, and Beyond. And this is how it came out. And I'm just like, this one is raw for me because For those of you who know astrology, I actually have a Scorpio rising, so I'm not very open about talking about my personal experience, or at least I haven't been, you know, like you could know me for a decade and not know that I have a brother, that kind of stuff. And right. So, but my editor was just like, we need more anecdotal information. Yeah. We need more. And I'm just like, oh God, oh God, oh God. And I started writing and they're like, well, you skip between 21 and 25. What happened to you then? And I'm like, oh God, I don't want to talk about all of that initiation. Right.
Yeah.
But it was so healing. Right. And one of the things that it brought to me was people are telling me that, you know, I make life look so easy on the outside, but knowing my story, they related to a lot of different ways, even though they didn't walk the exact same path. Right. The underlining narrative was very similar, just like what you had shared earlier, Bridget, about, you know, the Catholic background and questioning. I was 15 when I started questioning, you know, and I was supposed to be the one who was going to become the reverend of the Christian faith afterward, you know, so it was always talked about that I would be out there doing spiritual things. You know, I came from a long line of spiritual leaders. You'll do spiritual things. I ran away from that until I was 35.
Yeah.
The Spirit said, stop running from yourself, you know, and now I'm here doing spiritual things.
So yes. And it's amazing. Right. And we mm-hmm. love you for that. Before we run out of time, I just wanted to give you a chance to tell our listeners your website.
Yes.
And where they can learn more about you.
Absolutely. Just remember Granddaughter Crow and www.granddaughtercrow.com. If you just Google Granddaughter Crow, you will find all of my social media. So it's pretty simple. I try to keep it very simple. And feel free if you go through, I offer one-on-one sessions as well via Zoom and phone. And so feel free to connect with me with the sessions. You can feel free. I think I have my email up there, drjoy@granddaughtercrow.com.
Yep.
Go ahead and just reach out to me. If you have a question about something that I said, or if you want to tell me a little bit about your story, I try my best to stay as accessible as I can, because my mission is to inspire, to encourage, and to empower the authenticity that is you.
Fantastic. Excellent. And we need that in this world right now. So thank you for everything that you do and your service to the goddess and the world. And I just want to wish you the very best in your future endeavors. And thank you so much for being on my show today. And I think we have a great picture of what you do. And thank you. Blessed be.
Yeah. Blessed be, sister. Blessed be.
Thank you again. I just want to give a shout out. If you like what you hear on this show, to please look in the show notes. I have a PayPal and you can hit PayPal me, Oracle of Luna Podcast. And thank you again for listening, and honor the goddess and be the goddess.